Romans 10, 1 through 5. And I tell you, I won't be long. I won't be very long. I'll put it like that. I won't be very long. Romans 10 and 1. It reads like this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He didn't say we. He said that they might be saved. Like, hey, I'm already saved, y'all. you ain't there yet. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I'm going to read that verse again. For I bear them record. In other words, the record says that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And we're going to talk about that. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. I want to talk just for a moment. A zeal for the Lord.
A zeal
for the Lord. One of the great developments of mankind is the knowledge and discovery of fire. Fire can do a whole lot of good and a lot of bad. Fire is used to cook our food on our table. Fire is used to heat our homes. Fire is used to melt steel. Fire is used to propel your engine with the gasoline. Fire is used. Fire is used also to make weapons of destruction. That same fire that was for good can be used for bad. The misuse of fire caused the ovens in Germany, which killed 6 million Jews. The misuse of fire. The misuse of fire has killed many people in various armies and wars. In other words, that's a fire out of control. A fire out of control. Paul is accusing these Jews of having a fire. That's what the zeal is. The zeal is a fire. There's something in you that makes you want to put all that you can into whatever you're doing. You want to do it the best of your ability.
That's right.
Amen.
But they're not doing it according to what? Knowledge. They're having a fire according to ignorance. In other words, if you have a zeal for God and it's not according to God's word, then you have the wrong zeal. You are burning and consuming fire and tearing down instead of glorifying him whom you should be glorifying. The zeal of God, the zeal in God is supposed to be in us.
Yes, sir.
That zeal comes from the Holy Ghost. He leads and guides us to all truth. He is that fire that moves us. And a whole lot of folk are doing it in without the knowledge of the truth of God.
What are you saying, Reverend? I had a cousin who was a Muslim. And he believed in this belief of the Muslim belief. He didn't believe in you being born again and that you had to come through Jesus. He didn't believe that. But man, whatever he believed, he was a fireball. He witnessed the people. He tried to bring us all in, his whole family. I mean, I said, you got the wrong one here, brother. Because I don't believe what you believe. And see, he had something on me that I knew that he had one thing on me. He knew how I revered my grandfather, how I had such great. He said, and he brought this to me before, when he couldn't do no more. He said, you know, Papa was a Muslim. I said, Papa, I never heard of such a thing. What are you talking about? Yeah, he was a Muslim. You know why he was a Muslim? I said, why? Because he turned his face to the morning sun when he washed his face.
That'll do it, Reverend. That'll do it. That'll do it.
That's what he told me. I said, man, you got to be crazy. You know you're bringing some crazy stuff to me.
Well, he knew that I loved Papa. And he tried to use that in a way that he turned to the morning sun, man, when he washed his face. My cousin had a zeal, but it was lacking knowledge.
We all went to his funeral, and I remember how devastating it was for his mother. Because, you know, we had never been to a Muslim funeral.
Yeah.
And a Muslim funeral is cold. They wrapped his body in a sheet. There was no casket. They took him out of the casket and dropped him in the ground. And the ground was about 6 feet deep. And when he hit it, you hear this, boom, the body making this noise. Oh, she passed out. Everybody grabbed her, everything. You know, and her mindset that time, he must have went to hell. That's what went in her mind. Because this is not what we were teaching. That's what not she taught him. She didn't teach him that. But there are many who have a zeal. But the Lord tells us this. We should trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not into what? Thy own understanding. But lean and trust on Jesus. We all must have a zeal for God. There are Christians who have very little zeal. They are somewhat called lukewarm Christians. They're still called Christians, but they're lukewarm. And so somebody might say, well, at least they're still Christians. Jesus has a problem with the lukewarm. The Revelation tells us he does what? Spews them out of his mouth. So there's a problem with that lukewarm stuff. Lukewarm says there's no zeal, if any. That's what lukewarm says. And so Paul is telling these Israelites that your zeal is misplaced. So the question is, where is your zeal today? Do you have a zeal for God? Are you just kind of moseying along through life and just say, I love Jesus? But you don't have a zeal for you. You're not putting your time in the word. You don't really have no time for anything about him, but it's all about you. Your life is about you. Your life is not about Christ. Your life is not about learning what he's got to say. Your life is not about hearing the word and getting fired up for God. Now, I don't compare nobody with nobody, but I wanted to show you this morning when I woke up, I went on my internet a little bit and I saw a Christian and a Jewish man discussing whether Jesus was God. And before I came to church, I was an hour and a half listening to their discussions as to who was who. Now, of course, I'm with the Christian, even though some of his battles were, his points were weak. But the fact is, he was trying to show this man how Jesus is God. And this Muslim has some good points, some very strong points. But what it is there's a little of this twisting that goes on.
Oh, yes.
And you don't have, for the Christian man, I said to myself, you don't have to make it fit. It fits. You just lay it out there. The truth is that. But, you know, when you start trying to do a little bit of this moving around, then you're in the wrong trade. You don't need to do that with God's word.
Come on.
God's word is true.
Yes.
And it will do its own work. When you lay it out there, it will do its own thing.
Yes, it does. Come on.
That's the real truth. You don't need to pretend, and you don't need to try to make it work. And God's word is true. What Bible says is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will do what God sent for it to do. When you tell the truth, the word will maneuver the person and make them do what they need to do according to God's word, according to his desires for that man and that woman. God is, that's how God is. He doesn't have to manipulate his word. Now I don't like to get into those discussions where I'm not trying to make a Muslim feel bad. It's not my thing, but I want you to know the truth. Because the truth will what?
Set
you free. In other words, you're not free right now. But you don't even know you're not free. And that's important for you and me. Because see, even in our own family, we got people who are not Muslims, who are not Christians. They ain't nothing. And we just don't do nothing. We said to leave them alone. And I'm saying when you leave them alone, they're on their way to hell going alone. And you and I are responsible by the word of God to share the good news to them. Even when they get mad at you. The zeal says, hey, I don't care what you say. I know what God told me to do with you. That's the zeal. The zeal says, I know you heard it before, but here I come again. I want you to know that you got to get right with Jesus. That's what the zeal does. I sometimes go in my little back room and one of my sons will come in back there for a while. They won't stay long, but they come back. And soon enough, it gets back to, wait a minute, why ain't you saved? Oh, there you go again. I can't even have 5 minutes with you. Wait a minute. I can't even have 5 minutes with you. And there you go again. I can't help myself.
Come on, brother. That's right.
I don't want to see you going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Because when you go the wrong direction, it affects me.
Yeah.
I have a zeal for him, and I have a love for you.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, that's where we are. This zeal makes you make people mad. It makes you get on somebody's nerve. I said I won't be long, and I'm coming around the edge here. Paul reminded the Jews that he bears record or is a witness to their zeal. You and I have the opportunity to bear witness to each other's zeal. I know your relationship with Christ. I know where your fire is with Christ. You know where mine is. We know where each other's fire is. What do I say then? I'm saying that we need to grow.
Yes.
We need to grow.
Yeah.
Let me come right front with you.
Bring it up.
Bible study is important.
Yes, it is.
If you have no desire for Bible study, something's wrong with your zeal.
You hear what I'm saying to you?
Yes,
sir. Something wrong with your zeal. You can say, well, I go to church. I know you go to church. But you need more word.
Amen. Tough to hear, but right.
Some people don't like to hear that, but that's the truth.
It's. And I'm not saying you got to read the Bible like I do, because we all different. And my calling is different. I understand all of that. But still, there is somewhere where you need to say, Lord, I got, Lord, help me, build me, strengthen me, give me something to let me walk through this world with a little more strength.
That sounds like zeal.
You know,
I really hear a lot of complaints. I get to hear complaints. I feel like sometimes people dump stuff on me.
And they will.
Yeah, because I hear complaints. Yeah. And hey, look, and that's my job.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my job.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's don't stop complaining.
So you're not complaining.
But yeah, but what I want to do, I'm here to try to give you answers to work through your complaints.
Uh-huh.
That's my job.
Yes.
But if you don't take the answer with the truth of the word, then you're wasting your time and mine. Because see, you need to make sure that whatever complaint you have dosed it with the word of God. You hear what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You got, okay. Well, I don't know where to read, and I don't know what God tell me to read. You open up your Bible and start reading.
Yeah.
God, I got something going on in my life. I need some help. Mm-hmm. Open the Bible up. Start reading. God will bring some answers to you.
Yeah.
That's what he does. Mm-hmm. See, because God is in the complaint department.
Yeah.
He handles our complaints. That's what he does. He fixes our situations. He listens to our problems.
Yeah.
That's why I said, all you that labor are heavy laden, come unto me. I will give you rest. Come to me. Listen, I want to hear what you say. He says, my ear is over the righteous, and I attend it to the cry.
Yeah.
He's listening. You know, the pastor might can do a little bit of something, but he can't do much.
That's right.
For him that I serve, him that you serve, can teach you and guide you through all situations. That's what he does. Paul had firsthand knowledge of zeal without knowledge.
Yes, he did.
Paul had firsthand knowledge of zeal without knowledge. What are you saying, Reverend? See, that thing went out, man. This is a brand new phone. Why are you acting like this? See, this ain't good now. I don't like that. Paul said this. His situation was this. You remember when Stephen was being slaughtered, stoned?
Yes.
In the Bible, a man named Stephen was being stoned. Paul held the coats of him.
Yeah.
He didn't know Jesus, but he had a zeal for God.
Mm-hmm.
But his zeal was misunderstood. His understanding was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to go to Damascus. He had the Damascus Road experience. You heard that story.
Sure.
And on the Damascus Road is where he met Jesus.
Yes.
And then he came to know Jesus. But he had to go through this. He had a zeal.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't according to knowledge. It was according to ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul did. And now Paul is writing here in Romans of his fellow men. That they got a zeal, but it's according to ignorance. They're just like him, is what he said. I was like you, but now I'm not. I tell you, that's the way it is. Paul had to go to his fellow man. And see, when you get the knowledge, you don't want to keep it from someone. Mm-hmm. When you get the knowledge, when you find out who Jesus is in your life, when you first were saved, wasn't there something exciting about that? Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. Y'all, guess what? Uh-huh. I don't know if you called somebody up or not, but I know you felt something.
Yeah. Come on, man.
I know you did, because I've been through that. I can't forget, even though I'm talking about, we were raised in church and all that stuff, and that all from youth to teenagers, we were raised in church. When I went to college, I forgot all about Jesus. Uh-huh. Matter of fact, I got to the point where I said, I don't believe in him. Mm-hmm. That's what I got bad, sister. I got bad. I got really bad. And I was listening to philosophers. I was taking courses in philosophy down at the University of Delaware. And they were telling me of all these other religions that sounded just like Christianity. And so I left that whole thing. And I began to read philosophers. Then it got bad. The brother got bad. And man, went home and my father started praying for Thanksgiving. And I had the nerve to say, who you praying to? Now, I'm talking about, my dad was not highly religious, but he believed in God. Uh-huh. Man, that was not a good thing. Uh-oh. He said, I think you're in the wrong table. And I'm telling you, it wasn't long after that there's something happened to me. I was at a football game. We were in the Super Bowl. And I was out of college now. I had my little apartment, and the brothers came by, and we had, I told you all about the Miller ponies. The Miller ponies, they were my drink. I can only drink two of them, and I'm drunk. Little things, I couldn't take them. But I love them, they tasted good. So when I had a little party in my hand, I was a happy man. Not one on down, here's the next one. My buddy used to tell me, boy, he said, man, why are you, something wrong with you, man? You can only drink two of them. What's wrong with you? I said, I don't know, but that's all I need. Two ponies. Ben Kenshaw came on the show, that what we call it. 700 Club. Ben Kenshaw, a black fella.
Yeah.
He came on and he said to me while at halftime of the game, he said, you sitting in the chair. I had the TV box. You know, that time it was a cable that went through the box. Yeah. You holding the TV box. I'm looking around. Yes, you was raised in the church. You were raised in the church, fella. Yes, you, who had mother and father at home, and you were there, and you turned away from God. I told the boys, I said, man, he talking to me. And they said, they started laughing and said, man, have another Miller, you'll be all right. I said, no, he's talking to me. He's talking to me. He's talking to me. I ain't got time for no more games. He said to me, the Lord is talking to you now. I said, look, the game's over. He said, no, man, we brought chips. We brought this and that for a little party in a house here. I said, the game's over, man. You got to go. He told me to get down on my knees. I got down on my knees. And I prayed to God to come into my life. And man, I'm telling you, it was like I was on fire. I was on fire. The next day, I go to pick up my little dinner at the what do you call it? It was down on Market Street. They used to have a
a grocery store on the left near Sears. Little grocery store is there. I went there to pick up my food. And I ran into a man named Reverend Manley. He was a pastor of Shiloh Baptist Church. He come one aisle and I came down. And he looked at me and said, "Young man, the Lord just told me that he'd been talking to you." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah, I know he did, but I don't think I want to talk to you, you know." He said, no, I'm telling you, I don't get this like this." So the Lord is telling me, he's talking to you. You better be listening. I said, "Oh man, this don't look good." I mean, I was getting scared, like I was going to really die. You know what I mean? I had that thing on me. He told me, he said, "Look, I have a church, I pastor a church on 23rd Market. 23rd Washington." Says, you're welcome to come. I said, "Well," in my back of my mind, I'm going to tell you, what pastor church on the church that was on Market Street 24, the Reverend Zini, or a fellow, what's his name? That was the church by 27th and Market. Reverend Reedy. See, I had been by there. I had been by that church a number of times. And when I went by there, I always seen pretty women out the front. I said, "They got pretty women in that church. Look where I'm going." That was what my mind said. Go there. So I rode that Sunday morning, dressed up, went to that church. Got out of that mother church. Got out of my car. Walked in the door. And sat down. And I don't know how to tell you this, but something said, "You're in the wrong building, boy. Get out of here. Get out of here." I got up and got in my car and went to Shiloh, and the rest is history. I'm saying that God will talk to you. He will meet you right where you are. He makes himself known, and we a lot of times close our ears. We don't want to hear what God is saying. God is talking. And that's where the zeal came into my life. Because I fell on my knees at that moment in Kennesaw. Because he called me out. He called me out. And I couldn't help it. He said too many things about me. I'm missing something now, but he was naming my life. I said, "Man, you are bugging me." Where was I? But I dropped down on my knees and said, "God, here. You called me, God. I'm messed up. I done everything wrong now. I'm a sinner, a plus a sinner. You know what I mean?" And he changed my whole way around. And I want you to know, the zeal of God is what we must be aware of. If the zeal lets you know just how your fire is burning, the zeal lets you know. If you don't have no desire to hear the word, you don't have no desire to teach somebody, to share somebody else the word, then you know right now something's wrong with the zeal. You must have the zeal. You must spark the zeal. Keep the zeal burning. Keep the zeal burning. So Paul found that out. And see, as I close, you know the truth is that Jesus had zeal. He didn't turn his back. When they turned their backs against him, he kept on coming for them. He kept on teaching and preaching. A couple of times they tried to kill him. And the Bible said he went right through the midst of them. But he didn't stop, did he? He came back again and told him the word of God. He had the zeal. That's what God wants us to have. The zeal. Get the zeal. And that comes from much preaching, much prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting and studying the word. Your zeal will come up. Amen?
Amen.
That's the
give God a hand praise service.